Okay. Good morning. This is Henry Harris, and welcome to another edition of the weekly Emunah teleconference. It is Thursday, 10 a.m. on January 17th. And here we go. This week's topic, how is it that we become unstuck? I have to imagine every person who's listening on this call has experienced the phenomenon of being stuck in some undesirable state of mind or some undesirable place in life, and then having the experience of becoming unstuck. How is it that we become unstuck? And then simultaneously, how is it that we then resume becoming stuck? How does that work that we can become unstuck and then stuck again? In often, it could be in the same place that we became unstuck in. So how does that work exactly? And we begin with a simple review. This call, as you know, is called the weekly Emunah teleform. And one of the basic premises of Emunah is that there is a single power, a creator. There is a creator behind all of existence. And the focus of our conversation is how that in particular shows up in the profoundly meaningful dimension of our psychological experience. How is it that not just the things that are moving around out there in the world are under the divine providence, but even the world of our own internal experience, what it is that is allowing for the shaping of our experience, is in fact is under divine providence. It's his power that is what arouses within me whatever experience I'm having, whatever perception I'm having. Now, the good news is that I can know something about that. When I understand that my experience itself is a function of the gift of divine thought moment to moment to moment, that there is no other power, there is no other cause than the reality of divine thought in this moment, that allows me a tremendously new and different experience of the life that I'm living. It allows me a different relationship with my psychological experience. It's profoundly liberating. That's the truth. That's the simple truth that we're looking to understand. Now, within that truth is the possibility of the world looking and feeling like it's not the case that there's only one single power, i.e. the gift of divine thought in this moment. It can look and feel like my circumstances, like my very self, myself can look like a power in that I perceive my flaws to be real and the basis of my trouble or my tension or my insecurity, my fear. I attribute it to my own nature, my own failings or weaknesses. I might attribute my experience to people in my life. I might attribute my experience to a whole set of circumstances. All of those would be a misunderstanding. That would be, as we've mentioned many times, that would be missing the mark in the realm, in the mitzvah of lo yeh elokai elohim acherim, not to have powers other than God, not to ascribe power to anything other than the Creator. And that, of course, not only is a falsehood and it's a mistake, it's a non-reality, it also is not conducive to guiding and navigating our lives, right? To the extent that we're living in a world that is based on a misunderstanding, to the extent that we really believe our experience is coming from something other than divine thought in this moment, it's going to completely undermine our standing, our ability to navigate our lives with this profoundly beautiful navigational system that we are created with. You know, not only is it true that your experience of life is taking shape inside of your own consciousness through this gift of divine thought rather than outside of you coming at you, it's also true that you were beautifully and uniquely well suited to see that, understand that, and navigate your lives even before you've become an expert at things, because of your access to this divine understanding, because of your access to this divine wisdom. And the metaphor for that is the simple expression of that idea is that the Almighty made us straight. He gave us a straight, he created within us a simple wisdom. And how is it that becomes, how does that become disrupted, that simple wisdom? Through our innocent but mistaken use of thought, through our innocent but mistaken association of our experience and our feeling states with the world out there, with the idea of a power other than divine thought. Okay, that's the simple review of what it is that we're doing on this call week to week. So I want to talk a little bit about stuck and unstuck, okay? And we're reading this week's portion, the ultimate stuck-unstuck transformation, the ultimate movement from stuck to unstuck, and that's the Exodus. The Exodus was the archetypal, the quintessential, the single greatest experience of stuckness that gave way to unstuckness. The Jewish people were enslaved. They were living and they were trapped in the greatest, mightiest civilization of its day. In Egypt, there was no precedent, none whatsoever, for the possibility of them being extracted. There was nothing about this, there was just no evidence whatsoever that there was any basis for them to leave. And all of a sudden, that profoundly significant edifice called Mitzrayim, called Egypt, was dismantled piece by piece by piece until it was laid bare and shown that there is only the Almighty. And that was, in fact, the Almighty's intent was to demonstrate that there is Hashem Beker of Haaretz and the Einod Milvado. That was the goal, was to the perception of there being this profoundly significant circumstance becoming dismantled. And so not only was it possible to become unstuck, it was the case that it became more clear that whatever stuckness there was never in play on its own. It didn't have independent power. The circumstances that were giving rise to the Jewish people's stuckness, it wasn't just that the Almighty came on the scene as Superman and defeated the villainous foe. It's that there was never a villainous foe. Is that the whole basis by which they were stuck, the whole capacity for there to be stuckness, was animated and sustained at all times by the Creator himself. So that's powerful. You know, let's walk that through a little bit. And this, by the way, the understanding of that truth was essential. It made the difference in the capacity to experience that tribulation, that extended difficulty, and simultaneously the possibility of emerging. There were Jews, as we've discussed, there were Jews that never left Egypt. There were people that never left Egypt. Why not? What was the difference between those that didn't leave and those that did leave? Was it that the ones that did leave were politically savvy and were able to lobby themselves to be able to get on the list of those who could leave? Was it that those who did leave were physically strong and therefore could fight their way out despite the great forces of Egyptian security? No, of course not. There was nothing about their intellectual, political, physical capacity that enabled them to leave. So what was it? Why is it that the ones that left if they weren't the ones who accounted for it? And the ones that didn't leave, well, what was the difference? And our sages tell us that the ones who didn't leave, they didn't leave because they came to despair of the possibility of leaving. They didn't want to leave. The prospect of leaving was so it was so empty to them. It was so remote and impossible that it was painful to contemplate, and they didn't want to go. They did not want to leave, and so they were buried. They died, and they were buried during the plague of darkness because The creator of the universe looked into their hearts, saw that they had despaired, did not want to go, and thereby relieved them of the burden of living through the remainder of the plagues, and on the other calculations, and they died and they were buried. So it comes out that it was the understanding, what was their understanding? Their understanding was the reason we are in this situation is because Egypt is the greatest power of its day. It's because there's no precedent to a slave or a captive ever leaving the prison called Egypt. It's because we're generational slaves that we will never emerge from here. Our past is absolutely definitive of our present moment. And there's nothing that would tell us otherwise that we could leave. We're dealing with a tremendous challenge and obstacle. And our pain and our suffering is 100% corroboration of that reality, of that truth. Why else would we feel and experience the pain and despair that we do unless there's something behind it that is worthy of despairing over? And the Jews, that was the outlook of those who never left. And the Jews that did leave, so what do we understand from them? It was a tremendous challenge. There wasn't an absence of a test. It wasn't that they weren't plagued by the fears and the concerns and the temptation of despair. We see it through the story of their narrative of the Torah, but we must understand that they had a certain clarity that it is possible to leave. We desire, you can't desire something that you don't think is true. Those who didn't leave were convinced that all the evidence supported there will be no departure. So you can't want something that you don't accept there's hope for. You can't want something that you deny and don't believe in. But those who did leave obviously understood that as painful as this experience is, as tempting as despair is, we know that there's something even truer, more real. There's something true about our experience. There's something true about there's something true about the reality of the existence of our Creator that says there is no other power. There is no other power. If we're here and we're stuck in Egypt, as convincing and as fascinating the illusion is, we have a foot in the door of knowing that this is animated by the Creator. He is the source of this stuckness. And our job is to know and be loyal to that truth, to understand that we are being exposed to a divine process. It hurts, but I have some understanding of where it's coming from, and that understanding allows me to stand in this pain and to relate to it as part of something that is different than just suffering. And when it came time for them, when it came time that the Almighty said, it's time to leave, lo and behold, they were there. They were standing still in their lives, ready to depart, ready to access the invitation that the Almighty was making available. That really was the main difference, was that those who left didn't extract themselves. It's that they knew something. They understood something that allowed them to stay and not despair and depart. And to me, this is, if you look at how we relive and remember the Exodus is the most essential kind of metaphor of our lives. It's something that we relive moment to moment through our understanding and our references to so many places in our prayers. We have an obligation to relive it in a dramatic way yearly. And we have an obligation to remind ourselves daily of the reality of the Exodus. It's essential. This concept is I don't know how to go about life without knowing this dichotomy of the possibility of despair versus understanding, of the possibility of understanding that leads me to stay put and not lose myself to despair as the Almighty ushers me and guides me and sends me insights and understanding and doorways. And with those doorways, I make choices. It's not that I don't have a role, but I need to understand my experience in order not to get lost and, God forbid, give up. That's what that understanding is, what allows me to stay in my life and stay present to the new doors that are opening and thereby make my exit when the doors open. I can't exit a door that I don't believe exists. I can't. That's the premise. Now look at how we revisit and relive one of the central messages of the Passover story is matzah. Matzah was something that the Jewish people we eat on Passover because the Torah tells us there wasn't time for the Jewish people to delay and allow their dough to rise, which is odd when you think about it. This is Rabbi Hirsch's question. It's odd that they didn't have time. Was there a miscommunication? Was it that God didn't make known to Moshe? Here's the plan. We're leaving in the morning. You've got 6 hours. Let the Jewish people start their kneading and dough-making process now, and they'll have time for it to... Like, what was the issue that they didn't have time for the dough to rise? And the answer is because, as Rabbi Hirsch explains, they didn't know. It was absolutely the case that they didn't know because it wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't kind of an idiosyncrasy of the story that in all the details of the Exodus that was overlooked. And, you know, we simply commemorate that detail of this story because they didn't have time to let their dough rise then. And so we don't use risen dough today. It was the nature, it was essential to the Passover story that there be unleavened bread rather than leavened bread, because the nature of unleavened bread is that it's, I'm sorry, the nature of leavened bread is that it is a process where you kind of there's a cause effect. There's a process where you take something and you release its physical cause effect process, and you're kind of managing that, and it rises, and then you bake it on your terms in a time frame that works for you. And matzah is the short circuiting of that. It's the realization that I'm not in control of the timing of this process. The matzah is the reminder that the Exodus didn't happen through anything other than the gift of divine thought. It was nothing other than the singular intervention with no precedent, with no cause in this world other than that the gift of divine intervention in the moment that he intervenes. To me, this is the essential quality that we want to remember about the Exodus, because we're going in and out of stuck and unstuck in our lives. We are. We're going into spaces of constriction. We're going into spaces of losing sight of our consciousness. And the world looks and feels outside in. It just feels so compelling that my child is a problem, or that I myself am a problem. It's my nature. It's my weakness. It's my flaw. It's stemming from something about me, from my past. There's something in this world that is causing my rotten experience, and I have no choice but to try and avoid, fix, manage, resist. All of that is working with the logic that says things change in this world because there are things that need to be changed, and there are things that have to, and that there's a force that has to be brought to bear to change them. I have a problem. It resides in me. It resides in my child, and I have to find the solution to change that problem. That is the central truth that the Exodus is coming to speak against. The understanding that it's just not so. And now let me share with you that like practically speaking, how it's possible that we become unstuck. We experience ourselves being in the midst of a rut or a bad habit, and we overcome it at some point. You know, we find our way out of it. And then it's possible not to retain the clarity, not to remember. I had this experience that I've shared where I was given a gift. Someone shared with me an understanding many years ago about the secret of happiness. The secret of happiness is to focus on what you have. Ezehu Ashir, who is the wealthy person, one who focuses on what he has. And the converse would be, who is the poor, impoverished one, the one who focuses on what he doesn't. Someone shared that understanding with me, And it just, it hit me, like it really touched me that if I, it's like, it's a law, like it's an axiomatic, it's axiomatic that if I simply revisit and revisit and revisit blessing, I will come to experience a sense of wealth. And I did. And I worked at it. I worked at it and I worked at it. And you know what? I experienced the shift. Like I really experienced myself move from a place of habitual negativity to a greater state of equilibrium, of a greater state of ongoing contentment and gratitude. It was meaningful. It was profound. And then sometime later, I found myself sitting being visited by experience of insecure thought, comparing myself to others, doubting myself, feeling inhibited and paralyzed at times by doubt and by criticism and judgment toward myself and others. And when I went to I said, well, I've dealt with this before. You know, I've seen this before. Let me go back to the well. Let me go back to what it was that allowed me to move from a place of negativity to positivity. And I did. I worked so hard. I did all the exercises and I reread the essays and I got up early and I danced around and I did reframing I worked very hard and very much replicating what I experienced before. And it wasn't helpful. It was not helpful because I was only later did I come to understand why. Like I was so discouraged. I was so discouraged. Like I've experienced an exodus. Why is the wisdom that guided me out of the exodus last time, why is it not working for me this time? And it wasn't until years later that I came to see I was mistaken. Like I had lost track of what was the essential ingredient of my exodus. I was so enamored with my work and my efforts and my exercises and my sweat that I didn't fully appreciate the pure gift. I mean, the unprecedented, extraordinary divine intervention that I heard this idea, it entered my heart and it illuminated my mind with clarity. Oh my goodness, it's true, it's true. It's absolutely true. If I work at what it is that, if I work at the idea of what it is that I have, if I work at that, it's going to go. Like it's going to change me. All of my work was built on that initial insight. It was built on that initial Yetzias Mitzrayim, the unprecedented, without cause of anything of this world, a thought showed up in my heart. It illuminated my consciousness and it showed me a doorway. Oh my, look, there's a door over there. You can walk through that door. And guess what? I did walk through the door. But after the fact of walking through the door, I lost touch. I lost touch with the profundity of being shown the door. I didn't find the door. I didn't find the door. I didn't open the door. It wasn't my spiritual strength. It wasn't my physical exertion. It was none of that. The Almighty opened my eyes. I saw a door and I said, hey, let's walk through there. And guess what? I walked through the door and I was a different person. And then I forgot about the fact that it wasn't the walking through the door that was the main ingredient. It was that the door was opened for me. My eyes were illuminated and I saw the door. And that's what allows me to replicate the Exodus. That's what the Exodus is, something we are commanded to remember every day. Why? Because it's relevant every day. We're going in and out of Mitzrayim every day. We're being brought into a place of constriction. The Almighty was the one who brought the Jewish people into the place of constriction. It wasn't they blew it and they got sent to them. The Almighty brought them in for a purpose. And then he took us out. And there were Jews that didn't leave. And day in, day out, he brings us into a place of constriction. And he's ready to take us out. And are we going to be present to that moment, to that door opening, or are we not? And it depends on our understanding. It depends on our clarity about the necessity of the door being open, the possibility of the door being open, So here I am, I'm looking at a child of mine who's exhibiting behavior that's negative. He's got habits that are negative. He's got reactivity. He's got anger. He's got whatever it is that are unproductive habits. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, you're upsetting to me. You're a problem to me. You're threatening to me. You're frightful to me. You are damaged or broken or flawed. And I need to bring to bear some process that fixes you. But I don't know how to do it, because when I've attempted to fix you in the past, you weren't open. I can't seem to fix you, right? All of that is built on the premise that it's something in this world that is causing the problem. It's his weak character. It's his flawed nature. Or alternatively, it's my flawed parenting. It's my flawed whatever, right? It's something in this world. All of that kicks up this perception of there being outside in, of powers that are outside of me that I now have to wrestle, resist, avoid, manage, which is mistaken. And it doesn't lead to doorways. Whereas, if I see him and I behold his struggle and I understand, he's experiencing nothing other than the gift of divine thought without understanding. That's it. There's only one cause behind his struggle. He is experiencing the gift of divine thought without understanding the nature of that thought. He's like the woman who's pregnant and giving birth and doesn't understand that birth is, she doesn't know about birth. I don't go up to that woman and get frightened by, oh my gosh, I don't buy into you're going to die, you're going to explode. I don't do that. I understand she's experiencing a divine process, and I have compassion for her. I support her to the best of my ability, but I have understanding that she's experiencing a divine process. It's not personal to her. And I do that for my child who's experiencing constriction. And most importantly, I'm interested in having that understanding toward myself. My own experience of Mitzrayim is going to be daily. It's never going to stop that I'm going to be exposed to the story of Mitzrayim. The Almighty is going to place me there. He's going to give me the opportunity to have understanding that he's the sole exclusive source of that Mitzrayim experience. There is nothing about the Mitzrayim experience that tells me to despair. And when and how he is ready, the door will appear. And doors appear all the time. It's designed to be the case that we undergo Mitzrayim and Exodus, Mitzrayim and Exodus. And that is the premise of what I want to share today, of the phenomenon of going from stuck to unstuck and how we then go back to stuck, because we forget. We forget what was the yesod, what was the secret to our Exodus. It looked like it was our work. It looked like it was that great idea we heard from that lecturer. It was whatever it was. All of those things are beautiful, but they won't help without something illuminating our eyes, without the Almighty intervening, without precedent, without cause, just his intervention that opens something that was never there before. I see a door, and I walk through the door. Okay, well, that concludes our installment of the weekly Emunah Teleforum for today.